Well, I want to encourage you as we begin to get into this to feel free to take pictures of scriptures or write them down, whatever it is. Just take these things, because these things are things that you need to be thinking about even beyond this day. You know, because it's not just a matter of sharing the word and showing you scriptures and a one-day shot. It's something to help to build into you. And maybe you're not even experiencing sickness or anything today, but you know what? There's such a thing as preventative medicine, isn't that right? And so if you're not experiencing any sickness or disease today, I want to encourage you that this can be what we would call preventative medicine for you, something that is being built into your life and into your heart in this case, all right? And so I've entitled the message, Jesus is Still the Healer Today. And of course, I just mentioned this scripture, but it's in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everybody say this with me by faith, Jesus Christ is the same today as he always was. And so if that's the case, then he's still the healer. You cannot read the Bible, even the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. You cannot read the scriptures without concluding that God hates sickness and disease and he wants people healed. Anyone with an unbiased mind, anyone with an open heart that reads the God of the Old Testament and how he promised Israel to be their Jehovah Rapha, the Lord their healer, anybody that reads, for example, Psalm 103, where David, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives me of all my iniquities, who heals me of all my diseases, who delivers my soul from destruction. And so again, David believed in the healer, the Lord Jesus. He did not know him as Jesus, but Jehovah of old is Jesus of the new. Amen. Jehovah Rapha of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the new. God became a man in the person of Jesus, and Jehovah Rapha, therefore, became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you study and read the Gospels, you know that all through it, one of the major things we read about is Jesus ministering to the sick, healing the sick, raising the dead a few times, and just ministering to people in so many different ways. And so if we took out all the supernatural things, just of the New Testament, did you know we'd have a really small New Testament? If we took out all the healings, whether it be the healings that Jesus carried out or the healings of his disciples in the book of Acts, if we took out all the miraculous healings recorded in the scriptures, there would be hardly anything left. I mean, there'd be some left, but it'd be much smaller than what it is today. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so it must be, I would submit to you, it must be that God thinks that this subject of healing is very important because of the fact that he has emphasized it so much. You know, there's this understanding that we have that we should major on what God majors on and minor on what God minors on. And I don't think anyone with an unbiased mind can escape the idea that God in his word has majored on not just this, but he has majored on his desire for his people to be healed. Is everybody with me here today? And obviously, you know, this goes along with salvation. It goes along with salvation because Jesus came to restore the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. He wants to heal you emotionally. He wants to heal your broken heart. He's come to set us free of all these issues. That's why he came, in order so that we first and foremost could make it to heaven and be restored spiritually, but also the restoration of these other areas of our lives are very important to God. God loves us in every way. And he desires for us to be set free. Is everybody okay here today? And so in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Peter's preaching here. And he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so here we see again, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here it mentions that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing. Everybody say healing. Healing all who were what? Oppressed of the devil. And so here we see the indicator that sickness, because he mentions healing, sickness is considered an oppression of the devil, something to hold people back, something to hold them down. And one thing is for sure, that we can serve God in a greater way as we are well in body. Is that not right? Did you know healthy people can serve God better than those that are not healthy? Would you agree with that? People that are full of energy, people that are not in pain, can certainly serve God better. And so we have an adversary, the devil, that wants to hinder us, handicap us, keep us from fulfilling what God wants us to fulfill. And we need to fight that good fight of faith and believe God for better than that. Isn't that right? Amen. And so praise God. Let's look at some things. We're talking about Jesus is the same. And Jesus is here, by the way. He is here by His Holy Spirit. He's here in our midst. He said, where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is there in the midst of us. Do you believe He's here right now? He is here according to His word. We take Him at His word. He's not a man that He should lie. He said He would be here as we assemble together in His name. And so His presence is here. And yet you might be thinking, well, I don't feel His presence. Did you know faith has nothing to do with feeling His presence? Faith says, I believe what God's word says, no matter how I feel. Isn't that right? Would you agree with me that our feelings can be, you know, deceptive in many, many ways? Is everybody with me here? And so we don't go by our feelings. We go by our faith and what God has said, what Jesus Himself has said, that He is here in our midst right now. I think of Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus gave the great commission to His disciples. And He said, all authority has been given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've said unto you. And then He said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so He said to them and to us as well, with this great commission that we have, that He is here with us always by His Holy Spirit. Amen? And I think of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, another aspect or facet of that great commission. In Mark 16, He says this, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't say those signs will follow the preacher alone. It says those signs will follow those who believe in My name. Believe in His name. Believe in the authority of His name. Those that believe in His name, they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And then He goes on and says this. It says, the Scripture says, and they went everywhere, preaching the Lord, confirming the word with signs following. And He actually said, basically, that He was working. It says, the Lord working with them. With signs following, the Lord working with them. How many of you know, I believe that is still true today. The Lord's working with us. As the Word of God goes forth, they went preaching everywhere. And as the Word of God goes forth, He still confirms His Word and works with us. And so, you know what? He's still the healer. I can't heal anybody, neither can you heal anybody. But how many of you know, we can put trust in the healer, the Lord Jesus Christ, because, lo, He is with us always, even unto the end of the age. Are you hearing me here today? Amen. Amen. And so notice now, it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, 23 and 24, it reads this way, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Kingdom means the king's domain. How many of you know the king still has rule for us in our life? He still rules over sickness and disease as well. And so He went preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness. Notice, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to Him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and He healed them. He healed them all, did He not, it says. He doesn't say He left any as exceptions at all, but there were various diseases, and He healed them, all right? Notice what Proverbs 4 says, and verses 20 through 23, this is the New English translation, and this is the writer of this particular proverb is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and so this is God speaking to His children. My child, pay attention to My words. This seems to be a theme today. Pay attention to His word. Listen attentively to My sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Guard them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing one's entire body. Guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it are the sources of life. So he says to guard your heart. Notice how it says it. It says it twice in this passage. It says guard them, guard the word. Don't let the word depart from your heart. Guard the word in your heart. It says guard your heart with all vigilance, because out of it are the sources of life. In other words, as the heart goes, if you will, in other words, what you have within you concerning the word of God, as your heart goes, as your, and I'm not talking about the physical pump, the blood pump. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your inner man, the inner man. That part of you that's born of the Spirit, if you will. And I would include with that the renewed mind. As that goes, as the inner person goes, so goes your life. So what you feed on spiritually is going to determine so many things about your life. Does that make sense to you? What you feed on spiritually. And on the other hand, if you feed on other things, that's going to determine the course of your life as well in a negative way. Isn't that right? Somebody gave this illustration. I'm going into areas I wasn't even planning on. I already have messed up my message, but that's all right. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, some of you may have experienced this at one time or another. Let's say a cat comes to your doorstep, and boy, that cat looks miserable and so sad and hungry. And you say to that cat, go away, go away. And that cat doesn't go away. And so what do you think you're going to do? Well, you start to feed that cat. And you continue to feed that cat. I want you to know that once you fed that cat is not going away. Is everybody with me? And so eventually you're going to end up, I can envision it right now, this cat is laying on your chest. And you continue to feed that cat. That cat's getting fatter and fatter all the time. And you say, go away, cat. I don't want you in my life. Here, have some more gourmet cat food. Get away from my life. I don't want you in my life. That cat's not going anywhere. He's getting bigger all the time. I want you to know, you feed your flesh, you're not going to overcome or get rid of it in Jesus' name. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is everybody with me here? And so what you feed the most is going to be dominant in your life. It's going to control your life. And so what we want to do is we want to feed our spirit with the Word of God. And in our context, feed the healing Word into our lives on a continual basis, not just when we're in trouble, not just when we get hit with sickness, but when we, every day of life, when we're feeling well, we ought to be speaking God's Word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, you know, Pam and I, we do our best to pray every week. And to pray together every week. We would pray separately as well, but to pray together every week. And last night we prayed together, and one of the things I prayed, because I want to stay on this, we're both feeling well, we're feeling good, but you know what? We still confess the Word of God, and I say Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Therefore, we forbid any sickness or disease to come upon this body. Any disease, germ, any virus that touches our bodies dies instantly in the name of Jesus, and every organ and every tissue of our bodies function to the perfection to which God created them to function, and we forbid any malfunction in our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. We stand on the Word of God, not just when we're not feeling well, but when we're feeling well. When we're feeling well. Amen. And so biblical reasons why healing is still God's will today. First of all, it's a part of the work of the cross. Part of the work of the cross. Notice Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Many of you know these things, but you know what? We need to reiterate. We need to get them fresh in our hearts, right? Fresh in our hearts. It's like, you know, I've eaten, my wife hates this illustration, but I've eaten cheeseburgers more than once. How about you? And I don't mind eating the same thing over again. And so I'm going to give you some spiritual food that maybe you've eaten before, but it's different because you know what? You're not eating, let's put it this way. I want a cheeseburger, but I don't want the same one I ate last week. I want a fresh one. And so you know what? I believe the Spirit of God can make scripture that you've heard or eaten before, make it fresh to us. Do you believe the Holy Spirit can do that for us? Amen. And so the prophet Isaiah, by the Spirit of God, what is commonly referred to as a messianic prophecy, this prophesied the Messiah coming, who we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet said this, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. This again, we know this to be Christ, the Messiah, Jesus. Amen. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. And so, again, now some people say, well, that's talking about spiritual healing. But you know what? The New Testament interprets the Old Testament. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 17, It says this concerning the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's mother-in-law was healed by Jesus. And it says in Matthew 8, 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He bore our sicknesses and our diseases. And so the New Testament in Matthew 8, 17 interprets Isaiah 53, 4, and 5 as being physical sickness being healed. And so we allow the New Testament to interpret the old. Are you following what I'm saying to you? And so anyone that's, again, unbiased has got to understand that he's speaking not only of our sins being forgiven, but also of our bodies being healed as part of that covenant. Now, ultimately, we know that, you know, we still have mortal bodies. And so because we have mortal bodies, you know, we're going to have temptation of sin, and we will occasionally blunder into sin. And don't look at me like that. You know you've blundered. We're not talking about a lifestyle of sin. How many of you realize there's a difference between a lifestyle of sin and a blunder occasionally? Isn't that right? Is everybody hearing me? I mean, you might have come to church today and had a fight with your spouse. On the way here, you blundered into sin. But you know what? You just ask God to forgive you, ask your spouse to forgive you, and keep on going. Isn't that right? But you know, the day's coming when we won't even be tempted to sin anymore. Isn't that right? When Jesus comes again, or we come to be with him, whatever the case is, when there's a resurrected body that is promised us in the Word of God, or a body that's changed from mortal to immortality, that day is coming. We're not even going to be tempted to sin. And in the same way, the day is coming, we're not going to be tempted to be sick as well. You understand? And so there's the ultimate freedom from sin and sickness coming one day. But yet in this life, we can get a taste of that by contending for the faith. We resist the enemy. We're in a battle, a spiritual warfare, and we resist sin in Jesus' name. And we resist sickness in the name of Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And we don't just lie down and say, well, this is just a human experience. You know, everybody sins, everybody gets sick, and we just roll over and just let it all happen because we're just human. But we're not just human. We are human beings with the Holy Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us and with the divine nature of God as well. Amen? Is everybody hearing me here today? And so we're not just human, those of us that are born of God, those of us that are born again or born from above. We're not just human, we are human, but we've also got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us, and we've been regenerated spiritually on the inside. Amen? Amen. And so we don't have to just roll over and say, well, everybody sins, roll over and say everybody gets sick. No, we resist those things. In Jesus' name. Sometimes we may not get the victory, but you know what? We've got the ability and the mandate really to resist and to take dominion over those things in our lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Amen. And so again, by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Now, as we go into this a little bit more, we can look at some other scriptures from a different translation. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4, surely, and these other translations translated better than the New King James or the King James. Notice, surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. And then another translation, the literal translation of the Holy Bible, surely he has borne our sicknesses, and he carried our pain, yet we esteemed him plagued, smitten by God and afflicted. And so again, God, in the redemptive work of Christ, the work on the cross, has made it possible for us to resist sickness and disease because Jesus bore the penalty for that sin. You know, I think everybody would agree there was no sickness in the world until man fell into sin. Isn't that right? And so Jesus came to reverse those things for us. Now, the word born here, B-O-R-N-E, that word born means to lift or to carry or to take. And so we could say he has taken our sicknesses. He has taken our diseases. And then the word here that is translated carried, the idea of carried is the idea of lifting it away. So he's lifted away our pains. We stand on that in Jesus' name. And so if a pain comes into my body, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Amen. I command that pain to go in the name of Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Again, taking that authority and walking by faith and not by feelings or by sight. Now, this particular scholar said this, and again, he's not charismatic Pentecostal or anything, but he's a Bible scholar. And he said this D.A. Carson, if you can read it, he is a research professor of New Testament Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. And so he's not charismatic, he's not Pentecostal, but he had to admit this: Jesus' healing ministry is itself a function of his substitutionary death by which he lays the foundation for destroying sickness. Notice, it's a function of his substitutionary death. In other words, the work of the cross. He was our substitute on that cross and died and paid the penalty for your sin and my sin and all the residual effects of sin, which would include sickness and disease. Are you hearing me here? So again, we resist it. People say, well, and again, I've kind of said this, but I'm going to say it in a different way. People will say, well, how come if he bore my sicknesses or carried my sicknesses away, why have I gotten sick? Why do I still get sick? Well, again, he also bore your sin or the penalty for your sin. And so we could ask the same question, then why do we still sin? The reason we still sin is because we have to contend for holiness. We need to resist temptation. And in the name of Jesus, we still got this mortal body, if you will. And for the same reason, the reason we sometimes still get sick is because we have a mortal body and we've got to resist it in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? Amen. In other words, none of these things just fall into our lap just because, you know, the Bible says you've been set free from sin. Did you know that in Romans chapter 6? It says sin shall not have dominion over you. And so why does sometimes sin have dominion over us? Because for whatever reason, sometimes we get weak, sometimes we're not stayed filled up or whatever the case is, but other times we're strong and we resist it in Jesus' name. These promises basically give us the right to resist. We have the right to resist in the name of Jesus, by the authority of Jesus Christ. Is this making sense to you? Amen. And so going on with this just a little bit more, you know, we're not the only ones that believe this. This is not some kind of obscure doctrine. If you're familiar with the Assemblies of God denomination, they have in their tenets of faith, divine healing is an integral part of the gospel. Deliverance from sickness is provided for in the atonement and is the privilege of all believers. That's one of their tenets of faith. And then how about the Christian Missionary Alliance, another major denomination? They're not considered Pentecostal, but they include this. Provision is made in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ for the healing of the mortal body. Prayer for the sick and anointing with oil are taught in the scriptures and are privileges for the church in this present age. And so again, this isn't some kind of obscure doctrine. This is a doctrine that many hold, that denominations, some of them hold. And we're not what you would call cessationists. We don't believe the healing power of God has ceased. Because to suggest that, first of all, is to suggest that God's love has ceased, or God's compassion has ceased, or God's care for us has ceased. And we know that that is not true, don't we? Amen. Is everybody okay? P.C. Nelson. He was a Greek scholar, I mean, renowned. He knew several languages, including Greek and Hebrew. I mean, he was a brilliant man. And he wrote a book, Does Christ Heal Today? And some others as well. He said, our Lord considered it as sacred a service to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf and to heal the sick as to preach the gospel. In commissioning the 12, he commanded them to heal the sick and to preach that the kingdom of God was at hand, Luke 10:9. In commissioning the whole body of his followers, he commanded them to preach the gospel to every creature and to lay their hands upon the sick for their recovery. The healing of the body by faith in Jesus is part and parcel of the gospel. And then he also wrote this: those who argue that divine healing is a thing of the past are in danger of proving by the same reasoning that the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of the soul have likewise ceased. And so again, these things are just powerful points concerning healing. And you know, I want us to turn now, and I have more to say, but I don't have time because we want to pray for people. I believe your faith is built up. I believe that you are expecting, amen. But I want you to turn in your Bible or your Bible app if you can. If you don't have a Bible or a Bible app, smile at your neighbor and look at it with them maybe. They'll let you look on with them. But in James chapter 5, the book of James chapter 5, I many times end with this. In order to just set the stage. But James chapter 5, if you're there, say yes. Three of you are there. James chapter 5. James is right after the book of Hebrews, all right? James chapter 5. I can't wait for you too long. If you're there now, say yes. That's better. Verse 13 we're going to start with. It says this, James by the Holy Spirit. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? And so James is saying, if there's anyone among you sick, believers, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. What's the name of the Lord? The name of Jesus. Notice what the promise is, verse 15, and the prayer of faith. It's got to be by faith. The prayer of faith will save or heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so we just want to be doers of the word. You know, the scripture also says here in James, it says that we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Amen. And so you know what we see in this passage of scripture? That if there's any sick among us, the elders of the church should pray the prayer of faith and anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus Christ. And the promise is the Lord will heal the sick and the Lord shall raise them up. And don't let sin keep you back. Don't let ideas in your mind say that, well, I deserve this or whatever. No, just repent of the sin, be free, and be free of the sickness as well. Isn't that right? Somebody might say, well, you know what? I've abused my body all these years. And I don't deserve to be healed. You know what? We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve to be saved and go to heaven. But thank God for his grace and his mercy that has provided it for us anyway. Isn't that right? And so don't wait until you feel like you deserve healing, just like you didn't wait till you felt like you deserve salvation. We'll never deserve salvation, and we'll never deserve healing. But by the graciousness of Almighty God, he's provided a way because Jesus is still the healer today. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me, and we're going to do just what that says. Again, we can't heal anybody. We couldn't heal a fly, but yet Jesus is in our midst. Do you believe that today? Amen. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'm with you always unto the end of the age. And so he is here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still loves us. He still has compassion. Many times it states that Jesus moved with compassion and healed the sick. He's still a compassionate Savior today, and he wants you well. You believe that? And so if you would like to be prayed for, if you'd like to be anointed with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus, the oil just symbolizes the Holy Spirit. The oil just symbolizes really the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when you feel the oil, you know you can release your faith and believe God for that healing power, that healing virtue to flow into your body. Amen? And so if you'd like healing, if you'd like prayer for your healing right now, come expecting, come believing that you receive when we pray. And we're just going to pray and believe God and expect more testimonies of what the Lord has done. Amen? More testimonies of what the Lord has done. All right. So do you believe God's word?
Yes.
Say this with me. Jesus is the same today as he always was. He healed the sick. He set people free. And he is here in our midst. And so, Lord Jesus, I believe by faith that when I'm prayed for in your name, your healing power will flow into my body and eradicate sickness and disease in my body. In that name that is above every other name, I believe that I receive when I pray and when I'm prayed for in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just agree together as we anoint people with oil in the name of the Lord. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Say this with me. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is my healer. So I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes, I am the healed of the Lord. I am redeemed by the blood, out from under the curse of the law. And the curse of the law includes every manner of sickness and disease. So I forbid it to remain in my body. In the name of Jesus. And we give you thanks, Lord. Give him thanks right now. Give him praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we're healed by your stripes. We thank you healing is ours, Lord God. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen. And I appreciate your patience. I appreciate your waiting. And those of you that maybe you didn't need prayer yourself today, but I pray that it just kind of provided you with some things to think about and to build yourself up in that area. And also, thank you for staying. Even if you didn't need prayer today, you were praying and believing with us. Amen? For those that did need prayer, praise God. So we appreciate that very, very much as well. We never want to end a service without this opportunity. You might be here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means we all need forgiveness. You've sinned, I've sinned. You deserve hell and I deserve hell. But as I said earlier, we don't have to get what we deserve when we reach out to Christ and make Him the Lord of our lives. Our sins are washed away. And so if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day to do so. And so lest there be even one here today and you've never received Him as Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to have enough guts, enough courage to not care what anybody thinks, but to lift your hand so I can see it. And more importantly, the Lord can see you're serious about receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm not going to embarrass you and make you come up, but I want to lead us all in a prayer to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, lest there even be one here today, anybody at all. You're not sure that if you breathe your last breath or your heart stopped beating that you'd be in heaven. You can be sure because it's not based on you working for it. You receive this gift called eternal life. Anybody at all? All right, I'm not seeing any hands. But let's pray this prayer for the sake of those that may watch later. If you believe this, let's pray this together. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ died for me. He took my punishment, what I deserved, so I could be forgiven. So today, I turn from sin, and Lord, I turn to you, and I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I believe with all my heart that He not only died, but He rose from the dead, and He's alive. So Jesus, come into my life today, and with your help, from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you meant that prayer, the Bible says you're a new creation in Christ. And therefore, you know, old things are passed away. Everything's become new. And if you meant that prayer, if you just parroted it off and you didn't mean it, then nothing happened. But if you meant it, the Bible says you are now born from above. A new birth has taken place. And so you need to continue to grow and get strengthened in the Word of God and grow in Him. Amen. We encourage you to do that. Praise God.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.